ధర్మపాలో నరపతిః సతు సమ్రాట్ బృహశ్రవాః సాక్షాన్ మహాభాగవతో రాజర్షీ హయమేధయా క్షుత్రుశ్రమయుత దీనో నైవాస్మాత్ శాపమర్హతి ధర్మపాలో నరపతిః సతు సమ్రాట్ బృహశ్రవాః సాక్షాన్ మహాభాగవతో రాజర్షి హయమేధయాత్ క్షుత్రుట్ శ్రమ యుత దీనో నైవస్మాత్ శాపమర్హతి ధర్మపాలో నరపతిః సతు సమ్రాట్ బృహశ్రవాః సాక్షాన్ మహాభాగవతో రాజర్షిర్హయమేధయా క్షుత్రిన్ శ్రమ యుత యుతో దీనో నైవాస్మత్ శాపమర్హతి. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: The Emperor Parikshit is a pious king. He is highly celebrated and is a first-class devotee of the personality of Godhead. He is a saint amongst royalty and he has performed many horse sacrifices. When such a king is tired and fatigued, being stricken with hunger and thirst, he does not at all deserve to be cursed. Purport: After explaining the general codes relating to the royal position and asserting that the king can do no wrong and therefore is never to be condemned, the sage Shamik wanted to say something about Emperor Parikshit specifically. The specific qualification of Maharaj Parikshit is summarized herein. The king, even calculated as a king only, was most celebrated as a ruler who administered the religious principles of the royal order. When the shastras, the duties of all the caste and the orders of the society are prescribed, all the qualities of the kshatriya mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita 18.43 were present in the person of the emperor. He was also a great devotee of the Lord and a self-realized soul. Cursing such a king when he was tired and fatigued with hunger and thirst was not at all proper. Shamik Rishi thus admitted from all sides that Maharaj Parikshit was cursed most unjustly. Although all the Brahmanas were aloof from the incident, Still, for the childish action of a Brahmana boy, the whole world situation was changed. Thus, Rishi Shamik, a Brahmana, took responsibility for all deterioration of the good orders of the world. Om Jnanati Nirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vande Aham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vidam Tamsa Jivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Shri Chaitanyam Ishwaram Paramananda Madhavam. Dharmapalo Narapatihi Satu Samrat Brihatshravaha Sakshan Mahabhagavato Rajarshi Hayamedayat Shutrut Shama Yuto Dino Naivasmat Shapamarhati. The Emperor Parikshit is a pious king. He is highly celebrated and a first class devotee of the personality of Godhead. He is a saint amongst royalty and he has performed many horse sacrifices. When such a king is tired and fatigued, being stricken with hunger and thirst, he does not at all deserve to be cursed. Hare Krishna, seek the blessings of all the devotees assembled here and all the devotees who are there online here with us at Radha Gopinath Temple. So, seek the blessing so that I can speak something worthwhile on this very, very interesting, important verse from the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, this chapter is a conversation between father and a son, Shamik Rishi and his son, Shringi. And the series of events that have transpired in this entire episode is going to practically change the entire life course of Parikshit Maharaj. This chapter is the major turning point in the life of Parikshit Maharaj, where one small mistake or apparent mistake or a wrong decision taken in haste will result in such a major shift, or it will result in the change in the trajectory of Parikshit Maharaj's journey. He has a flourishing career, but his flourishing career is all of a sudden going to come to an halt. So from a material perspective, it's all inauspicious that's going to happen in the life of Parikshit Maharaj. All bad that's going to turn over now, where Parikshit Maharaj will be dying in next 7 days. So from the material perspective, it's actually inauspicious. But from the spiritual perspective, all auspiciousness awaits life of Parikshit Maharaj. The spiritual world is awaiting, for Parikshit Maharaj. So that's why it's not a mistake, but it's an apparent mistake. In fact, it's not just one mistake that has taken place here. There are two major mistakes that has taken place here. One mistake, yes, it was a mistake. One mistake by Parikshit Maharaj, and one mistake was done by Sringi. So there were these two wrong decisions taken by, these two personalities. So Parikshit Maharaj made a mistake and Sringi also made a mistake. But the mistake done by Parikshit Maharaj is not as grave as we all know. The mistake done by Parikshit Maharaj is not as grave or serious or big in compared to the mistake that's done by Sringi. And the punishment that is offered to Parikshit Maharaj is not in proportion to the mistake that he has committed. Even in a normal judiciary, the punishment that is offered is directly proportional to the crime that's committed. And we all say that to every action there is equal and opposite reaction. But here we see, that the action that took place, there was no equal reaction that Parikshit Maharaj got. But on the contrary, a very bigger reaction that came in the life of Parikshit Maharaj. So we know that even in an Indian judiciary, the people there up on the top, they know what type of punishment has to be offered to whom. A pickpocketer will not be hanged to death. But a pickpocketer will be offered a proportional punishment. And a person who has committed a murder will not be imprisoned just for a few days and will be released. No. If a pickpocketer is offered a life imprisonment if he is sentenced to death, then that's a bigger crime. That's a bigger wrong that's done by the judiciary. Why? Because the punishment has to be proportionate to the crime offered. Parikshit Maharaj did not kill Shamik Rishi. Parikshit Maharaj just placed a dead snake on the body of Shamik Rishi. But the amount of punishment that is offered is far more. He has been given death sentence. And Sringi made that mistake. Sringi made a bigger mistake of offering Parikshit Maharaj a life sentence. So, interestingly, Sringi is nowhere mentioned. Sringi is not given any further punishment. And, Sringi doesn't appear anywhere in the Bhagavatam. Henceforth. So a mistake committed by Parikshit Maharaj was not big in compared to the punishment offered. Prahlad Maharaj made a mistake of worshipping Lord Vishnu, but the amount of punishment that was offered to him was far more, not proportional. Amrish Maharaj made the mistake of breaking the fast before offering food to Durvasa Muni, and he had to undergo a lot. Chitraketu Maharaj made the mistake of just laughing or probably smiling, seeing Lord Shiva and Parvati sitting on the lap of Shiva and addressing to an audience the sages. That was the mistake committed by Chitraketu Maharaj. In one sense, the mistake committed by the Yadus was not as grave as compared to the punishment that they were offered. What was the punishment that they received? Destruction of the entire Yadu dynasty. So whether it's Parikshit Maharaj, whether it's Chitraketu Maharaj, whether it's Amrish Maharaj, whether Yadus, even Indradyumna Maharaj, King Indradyumna Maharaj made the mistake of probably neglecting the sage who appeared there while he was in meditation, and he was being cursed to receive a body of an elephant, Gajendra. So it appears at one level that yes, the mistake committed by such people is definitely not as big as compared to the punishment that they have received. Of course, when Yadus were cursed, Lord Krishna wanted to make this very important point that whoever you may be, if you take the great personalities cheaply, you will have to pay the price. Interestingly, Shukdev Goswami also Shukdev Goswami also presents such cases from different eras. The case of Parikshit, the case of Chitraketu, Indradyumna, Indradyumna Maharaj, or Amrish Maharaj, or Yadus. He wants to present it in front of Parikshit Maharaj to tell Parikshit Maharaj that, by the way, you are not the only one. You are not the only one where life is unfair to you only. Life is unfair to practically everyone, today or tomorrow. But Bhagavatam goes a one step ahead. People say that life is unfair. Life has not done good justice to me. I am the one who is at the receiving end, and I have received a lot of injustice in my life. But Bhagavatam goes on to say that yes, life may be unfair, but that unfairness is for ultimate fair. From the unfair comes the ultimate fair. That's why bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen to good people for the ultimate good. Bad things happen to good people to bring out the best from within them. And this is what Bhagavatam is trying to showcase, whether it's Parikshit Maharaj's case or any other Mahabhagavat's case. Life may be unfair, but if we understand it from a very broad perspective, it's actually not unfair. It brings all auspiciousness. It brings all fairness. So yes, it's very inconceivable and very difficult to comprehend how the laws of karma works, because many a times we simply get caught in this notion that a lot of injustice is done to me. We cannot move ahead. We stay stuck there. But Bhagavatam offers us a very broad spectrum, and Bhagavatam gives us an opportunity to broaden our mindset where we can even think beyond this point, and we can come out of that imprisonment that actually I am stuck, or probably injustice is done to me. When Nelson Mandela was released after 15 years of imprisonment, he said, yes, I have been released from this prison cell after 15 years, but if I stay stuck in that same notion that injustice is done to me, was done to me, even I am out of the prison cell, still I will remain imprisoned by that same thought that injustice is done to me. So yes, Bhagavatam offers us a chance to come out and go a step higher. Just as we see in the case of Parikshit Maharaj, Parikshit Maharaj did not just stay stuck. He did not simply say that injustice is done to me. So this is one very instructive insight that we learn from Bhagavatam, especially from this episode. One very interesting insight that we can learn from this chapter is many a times mountain of misunderstanding may manifest because of the minutest of the mistake. And when that minutest of the mistake is being magnified by our mad mind, that results in a malfunctioning of any relationship. So mountain of misunderstanding may pop up from the minutest of the mistake, which, if it is not seen from the right perspective, will result in a malfunctioning of relationship. And that minutest of the mistake could be, you know, speaking a wrong word to someone, and people may take it as a big mistake, and people may misunderstand it, and people may take it as an offense. Many a time, mistake is not even a mistake. Mistake is perceived as a mistake. And that's what happens in relationship. No, there's nothing major in it, but no, a mountain of misunderstanding manifests out of it. So it could be a small word, a wrong word that we may have spoken, or a wrong behavior that we may have acted, but then the way it is perceived, no, it becomes a big mistake in the eyes of others. That's why misunderstanding is one of the major obstacles in sustaining sustaining relationship. As they say, relationship don't die a natural death. No, it is murdered by ego, attitude, and disrespect and misunderstanding. And yes, who is the one who is free from mistake? Committing mistake is natural, because no one is perfect. It is said that don't try to find good people and avoid bad people. Don't try to find good people and try to avoid bad people. Try to find good in people and avoid the bad in them, because you will never ever find a person who has all good in them and all bad in them. And ultimately, mistake is truly a mistake if it becomes repetitive. If it's committed again and again, then definitely it becomes a mistake. And mistake becomes a mistake if we fail to learn from that mistake. But if any mistake is followed by a genuine regret, repentance, rectification, ability to rebound, and we relearn from that mistake, then that mistake is never a mistake, but that mistake actually becomes a milestone in the life of a devotee. What is milestone? Milestone is a significant event in someone's life's journey. So even a mistake turns into a milestone if there is a regret, repentance, followed by rectification, and we again rebound and we relearn from that mistake. So the point is, mistake, when it is committed, should not define a personality. We shouldn't define a personality based on mistake committed by them. Why? Because what truly defines a personality is what is their response after the mistake. So response after the mistake will truly define that personality. And here we see in the case of Parikshit Maharaj, yes, the mistake was committed, but Sringi is defining Maharaj Parikshit as being, no, I mean, he spoke so much about Parikshit Maharaj. He doesn't deserve to be a king. Or king is supposed to be just like a watchdog, at the door. And so on and so forth. So, Sringi is making this mistake of tagging, branding, judging and defining Parikshit Maharaj based on one mistake committed. It would be, so, it's a bigger mistake if we tag, judge, brand or define a person based on one mistake committed. Rather than that, we should see the bigger and a broader picture, the overall dedication and the commitment and years of service being offered. That truly defines a person. But unfortunately, the nature of this world is, we tend to go on externals. We see the action and not the intention of the person. As a result, one unkind act done to someone, one unkind act done towards someone can eclipse many acts of kindness done towards someone else. We may have done 100 goods, but one bad will make others forget 100 goods done towards them. So, that's the unfortunate part living in this world. Well, we see the action and not the intention. On the contrary, when the world sees the action and oversees or overlooks the intention, it is Krishna who sees the intention and not the action per se. That's why Krishna is even willing to forgive those who have committed not just a small mistake but a major blunder. Api chetsu duracharo bhajate mam ananya bhag sadhur eva samantavya samyak vyavastito hi saha. Even a major sudurachar act. Of course, that doesn't give us the license to do the wrong. But here, Krishna is, because Krishna just doesn't see the external but sees the heart. And he is willing to forgive and overlook the mistakes. That's why it is said that when it comes to dealing with other people's mistake, we should use our heart. When it comes to dealing with our own mistake, we should use our head. But the unfortunate part is, we are very good lawyers of our own mistake and very good judge of other people's mistake. A lawyer will give a lot of justification. So we are very good at giving justification when we commit any mistake. And we are very good in passing judgment when it comes to other people's mistake. But great souls with extraordinary consciousness, they overlook 100 bad and focus on one good. And a person with an ordinary consciousness will overlook the 100 good and focus on one bad. And that's what this verse is all about today. Sringi is focusing, or he overlooked the 100 good done by Parikshit and focuses on one bad. And here is Shamik Rishi, who is overlooking one bad and focusing on 100 good. Dharma Palo Narapati Satu Samrat Brihatshrava Sakshan Mahabhagavato Rajarshi Hayamedayat. In Vishnu Shastranam, there is this beautiful verse that comes. Guru Tamo Dhama Satya Satya Parakrama Animisho Nimisho Sragvi Vachaspati Udaradi. One of the names of Lord Vishnu is Nimesh and Animesh. What is the meaning of Nimesh? Lord Vishnu is called as Nimesh because he closes his eyes, he blinks his eyes. Animesh means he keeps his eyes wide open. So our Acharya says that when a devotee commits any mistake, Lord immediately blinks his eyes. He closes his eyes, he overlooks the mistake committed by a devotee. And when a devotee performs even a smallest act of service, Lord keeps his eyes wide open. He will not blink his eyes, but he will keep his eyes wide open, just as Lord Jagannath. Lord Jagannath doesn't have an eyelid only. He keeps his eyes wide open. He has a very big eyes, and his eyes never blink. Why? Because Lord Jagannath is so merciful that he actually never sees the bad, but he only sees the good that's done by his devotee. Of course, it's not just the big eyes of Jagannath, but it's a big heart of Lord Jagannath. Because it takes a big heart to accommodate and adjust and overlook the faults done, mistake done by others. So this is Krishna. Animesha, Nimesha. So when good is done, Lord Krishna keeps his eyes wide open. When bad is done, Lord Krishna closes his eyes. When Putana came to kill Krishna, Krishna closed his eyes. That's what the Acharyas, that's what Bhagavatam says. Lord Krishna closed his eyes because he overlooked. He did not see Putana. No, coming just to kill him, but Krishna saw Krishna as mother. So Krishna, he did not see the wrong for which Putana came. One time, Krishna and Arjuna, they were sitting in the chambers, closed chambers. They were having a very confidential meeting. And they were discussing something very important. All of a sudden, Draupadi entered. And Draupadi, seeing that Krishna and Arjuna were very immersed in some important talk, she kept a container full of fruits in front of them. And then she left. And she left. She did not disturb. And Krishna noticed Draupadi entering, Draupadi keeping that container of fruits. And Krishna also saw Draupadi leaving. Krishna took the knife in his hand and started cutting the fruit. And just at that point of time, the knife slipped from his hand and his finger got cut. And the blood started oozing out. Draupadi noticed. Draupadi ran towards Krishna. She was looking for a bandit, but she couldn't find a bandit at that point. She immediately tore off a sari, and she tied that sari to in the finger of Krishna. And Krishna told Draupadi, "I am so grateful that I will never forget this act of yours, and I will return, try to reciprocate when the right time comes." And we all know when the right time came, when Draupadi needed the help of Krishna the most, Draupadi needed the cloth more than anything else, Krishna provided back to Draupadi. So even a small act done on the part of a devotee, Krishna keeps his eyes wide open and does not forget that act of service offered. to Him. That's why the slogan that Lord Krishna uses is, catch people doing right. And the slogan that we use is, catch people doing wrong. That's the difference between a mature leader and a frustrated leader. A mature leader will catch people doing right, and the frustrated leader will catch people doing wrong. Srila Prabhupada also, he noticed, acknowledged, appreciated and remembered even a small act of service that was offered to him. Prabhupada was giving a talk and all of a sudden one gentleman just entered the room and he just placed some tissue paper there on the side and he just left. Prabhupada acknowledged. I think it was one very senior sannyasi who was sitting in the room of Srila Prabhupada, and the sannyasi was sharing his preaching experiences with Prabhupada. Prabhupada did not even hear what this sannyasi was telling. All of a sudden, one devotee, Mataji, she just entered the room of Prabhupada and she started cleaning the room of Prabhupada. And Prabhupada immediately spoke to her, asked her, what is your name? Oh, you are doing such a wonderful service. Prabhupada thanked her. Someone came up to Prabhupada and said, Swamiji, your disciples, they don't pronounce Sanskrit properly. Prabhupada said, yes, their pronunciation may not be perfect, but their enunciation is perfect. So Prabhupada, he also appreciated. In fact, one of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, Tamagash Maharaj, recalls that this disciple of Srila Prabhupada would actually drive Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Giriraj Maharaj to the streets of Bombay. And when Tamal Krishna Maharaj would go to collect the funds from the life members, this devotee would drive the car. But later on, what happened is, this devotee started going on his own, and he started collecting funds. And when Tamal Krishna Maharaj approached Srila Prabhupada, Tamal Krishna Maharaj actually told that this is not fair. No, this should not be done. Prabhupada said, never mind. Prabhupada did not hesitate. Prabhupada said, still, no problem, give him a chance. Later on, the same devotee, he left ISKCON, and he went to some yogi and he started learning some mystical things. And what was that mystical thing that he started learning? How to put 1 rupee coin from one ear and remove it from another ear. So when Tamal Krishna Maharaj heard that, he got to know, he said, this is enough. We can't handle him. We must go and tell this to Prabhupada. He went to Prabhupada and he told Prabhupada, this is enough. We can't handle this person anymore. Prabhupada said, you do not know the mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, why Prabhupada? Prabhupada said, because there is no limit to the limit of Lord Nityananda's mercy and compassion. There is no end to the forgiveness of Lord Nityananda. Prabhupada actually forgave that devotee, and later on that devotee came back to ISKCON and Prabhupada offered him sannyas. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he was sharing this point that Srila Prabhupada was the representative of Lord Nityananda. When it comes to dealings with other devotees' shortcomings, a lot of devotees had their shortcomings. Many devotees, they perform even big blunders, mistakes. But Tamal Krishna Maharaj writes that there was very few instances in the history of ISKCON when Srila Prabhupada rejected anyone. And he writes, it's a very rare or very, very, very rare occasion that Srila Prabhupada actually rejected someone. On the contrary, Prabhupada actually adjusted and accommodated in spite of so many mistakes done, committed. And this is a great hope, where in spite of our shortcomings and we keep doing blunders, we keep committing offenses because of our shortcomings and conditioning, no, we have this hope that great personalities will ultimately forgive us and our faults would be overlooked. Of course, this doesn't mean that we don't endeavor at our end, we just keep doing mistake and think that the great personalities will forgive us. But we have to take the responsibility and the onus on our own self. One very interesting instruction and a lesson that we can learn from this entire pastime that is happening is Bhagavatam at this point of time is actually speaking about two different contrasting mindsets. The mindset of Sringi and the mindset of Shamik Rishi. There are eight different contrasting mindsets being discussed here. Sringi is very narrow-minded, whereas Shamik Rishi, we may not have the time to go into the detail of each and every mindset, but I'm just speaking out all these mindsets. A contrasting mindset. Shamik Rishi is a very broad-minded person, whereas Sringi is a very narrow-minded. Sringi is short-sighted, where Shamik Rishi is very far-sighted. Sringi is an extremist taking extreme decisions, whereas Shamik Rishi is very considerate and balanced. Sringi is thinking that he's a great Sringi is thinking that he's a great pandit. He's a brahmana, vritha panditamanina. He thought that he has done a great service to his father by cursing Parikshit Maharaj. He thought that he has done a great job, but he ended up doing the greatest damage. Vritha panditamanina. On the contrary, although an offense was done to Shamik Rishi, he still had a high regard and a respect for Parikshit Maharaj. This is the fourth type of mindset. The fifth is Sringi has the power, but he has no patience and he has no power to discriminate. On the contrary, Shamik Rishi not only had the power, but also had the patience to forgive. And he had the power of discrimination. Sringi is very hot-headed, as we all see here. On the contrary, Shamik Rishi, because he has taken shelter of the spiritual process, Shamik Rishi was actually absorbed in meditation. He actually is very cool-headed. We see a very immature way of dealing in case of Sringi, but a very, very mature way of dealing the entire situation by Shamik Rishi. And finally, Sringi is very impulsive, whereas Shamik Rishi is very introspective. That's the difference between a mature and an immature person. A mature person controls their impulsive emotions, whereas the impulsive emotions controls the immature person. And ultimately, spiritual life is nothing but a journey of upgrading ourselves from Shringi to Shamik Rishi to Parikshit Maharaj. That's what spiritual life is all about. We have to move ahead from being impulsive to being introspective to being illuminative like Parikshit Maharaj. We see in case of Shringi, Shringi, he actually takes a small problem and makes it into a big problem because of his impulsive nature. So Shringi takes a small problem and stretches it to a big because of his short-sightedness. Shamik Rishi, he sees a small problem and keeps it as small. He doesn't make it big. No, because of his because of him being very introspective. And Parikshit Maharaj, he, because he's illumined, he's illuminative, he sees a big problem and makes it very small. And we all know how seamlessly, you know, such a big incident that happened, that transpired in his life, he just so seamlessly moved on in his journey. So there are three types of eyesights. Shringis has a short-sighted vision or myopic vision. Shamik Rishi has a normal vision at least. And Parikshit has a very far-sighted or a hypometric vision where he is able to see not just the immediate but what's coming next. Now, initial years of our Krishna consciousness were also like that of Shringi's behavior. Very impulsive. Where for no reason we get into fights. For no reason we start cursing and counter-cursing. For no reason we just, get into controversies. For no reason, we just, end up making our life and other people's life a big problem. And, I mean, I know one boy, in a college, he started attending ISKCON program and something clicked him. He started attending these programs and one day he happened to meet his friend and his friend spoke something against ISKCON. And this boy, he got so wild that he went into the room of that person and beated him left, right, center. And that became such a big issue that the college program, the preaching program had to be closed, be closed down for a few days. And this boy, he came back to the program and he told the preacher, "Today I have pleased Srila Prabhupada the most." And this preacher, he kept a head on his, he kept a hand on his head and he said, "Oh my God." So the impulsive behavior sometimes, we think that I have done a great service, but we end up doing the greatest disservice. Gaurang Prabhu always tells this story. When he was preaching in IIT, there used to be one boy who used to come. He started attending the program and one day this boy was seen in the corridor with a bead bag in one hand and a bottle of beer in another hand. And this boy was telling that, "I am a member of ISKCON." And naturally, what impression that would give to the people around. There was one boy in the medical college. This happened with me. This boy, he started coming for the program. He started chanting. He took up to 16 rounds so quickly. Within no time. But I did not know that this boy is actually having some psychological problem. He was suffering from this disorder called bipolar disorder. And this boy would go from door to door and he would tell everyone to chant. So I thought he's doing great service. I mean, what's wrong? He's really inspiring others to take up to the chanting. One night, this boy all of a sudden left hostel and he ran all the way from the college to our temple here. He ran. He did not wear shoes, chappals, anything. And he just got so wild that he came to the temple practically at 11 o'clock in the night. And he started shouting, Prabhupada, Prabhupada. And this security guard, they actually were confused. Isko andar lena hai, nahi lena hai, kaun hai ye? And he got so wild that actually even security guard could not control him. So when the devotees at the hostel, they got to know this boy has ran, they also ran behind him all the way because they did not know what will this boy do. And this boy, he got so wild, he started shouting, Prabhupada, I want to surrender my life at your lotus feet. But then, the devotees realized that it is, this is not the way you surrender. And after, it's a long story, then finally, devotee had to admit him to the hospital for a few days. I had to go and every day, speak to him, try to make him understand. I had to speak to his family members. And this boy realized his mistake later on. He came and he said, I am sorry, it was my mistake, I shouldn't have done this. But it was difficult. So many a times, in our early days of Krishna consciousness, instead of being introspective, because of our very immature and impulsive behavior, we end up doing something, which is not conducive. And like this, there are so many stories. We don't have the time. Time is up. But what is interesting is, Sringi actually represented the Brahminical order. But because of that, misbehavior or that, that wrong action taken by Sringi, he misrepresented the Brahminical culture. Similarly, in fact, if we don't upgrade ourselves from Sringi to Shamik Rishi, probably we can also become the cause of the downfall of Vaishnavism. Prabhupada writes that the immature behavior of Sringi led to the downfall of the Brahminical culture. Similarly, a wrong type of misrepresentation from our end may lead to the downfall of, or we may misrepresent Vaishnavism. And this is what is a very important lesson that we need to learn from here. Finally, to end, conclude, we see in the episode in the fourth canto, Daksha insulted Lord Shiva badly. Lord Shiva did not take the offense so seriously. But the followers of Lord Shiva, headed by Nandishwar, he took it upon himself to defend Lord Shiva. And then, he actually started counter-cursing the Brahmanas. And that one event led to so many series of inauspicious events. When the fact of the matter is, Lord Shiva was least bothered about what happened to him. Lord Shiva was unaffected by him being insulted. Here we see, when Parikshit Maharaj said something or did something to Shamik Rishi did not even take that offense seriously. But Sringi, on behalf of Shamik Rishi, he took it upon himself, and he took that law, in his hand. So when the power is in the hand of inexperienced, immature and ignorant people, those people will only disempower themselves and destroy others. And Sringi exhibited his power. Sringi is exhibiting his power or his superpower. And he wanted to show that he is someone. And he exhibited his superpower by cursing Parikshit Maharaj to die within 7 days. But this is not what Bhagavatam is focusing on. Bhagavatam tells us that spirituality is not about exhibiting superpowers or being a superhuman. Spirituality is not about being a superhuman. Spirituality is all about becoming a super refined human first. So, a Brahmanical qualities or a Vaishnav qualities should make us super refined human first. Generally, we want to become superhumans, but that's not the goal. The goal is first we become super refined humans. And that super refined humanness is seen in the life of Parikshit Maharaj. Sringi is a super insensitive human, whereas Parikshit Maharaj is a super refined human. Although Parikshit Maharaj was in the power, Parikshit Maharaj had the power to defend himself and defame Sringi, Parikshit Maharaj did not exercise his power. And when he came to know that he has committed a mistake, he really regretted. And he actually committed himself to not drink or eat. By the way, Parikshit Maharaj was the victim of two impulsive Brahmana men. While he was in the womb of his mother, he became the victim of this impulsive, immature Brahmana man called Ashwatthama. And while now he is the ruling, he is the king, he became the victim of someone's impulsive behavior like that of Sringi. But in spite of being repetitively becoming the victim in the hands of a certain order, a certain section of society, Parikshit Maharaj decided to forgive and forget. That demonstrates the super refined humanness of Parikshit Maharaj. So Bhagavatam gives us an opportunity to move, to upgrade ourselves from Sringi to Shamik Rishi to Parikshit Maharaj. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthashrama Bhagavatam ki jai.